Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I'd like for you to be finding with me, if you would, that familiar passage of Scripture that we began kind of digging into, leaning into last week. Go to the 23rd Psalm. As I kind of shared with you last week, as we kind of began to look at this together, kind of shared some of my thoughts on going back to the familiar, that sometimes in our life, I think when we go through tough things, we need to go back to what we know. We need to go back to those familiar passages of Scripture that in the past have fed us and nourished us, that have kind of grounded us in our own faith. And so we kind of began a series kind of working through the 23rd Psalm last week, and that's where we're going to be for a few weeks. So I've titled the series of messages, God is Enough. Don't you love that? I love the idea that when we come to times like we've kind of been going through in our life, we can say, you know what? God is sufficient. God is enough. That He provides for all of my needs. He provides for everything that I need to get me through these times. That He comforts my soul. That He ministers to my spirit. That He is enough. That He is adequate and more than adequate. That He is sufficient and more than sufficient to meet my needs. That He is enough. And I've never really thought about it before, but I want you to read Psalm 23 that way. Read it and just realize that what David is telling us in Psalm 23 is just that, that God is enough. And we kind of fleshed it out last week by saying it like this. Now think about this. God is enough to meet my needs. God is enough to give me rest. We're going to talk about rest today, but He's enough to give me rest. God is enough to guide my steps. I can trust Him. He is enough to guide me, to guide my steps. He is enough to calm my fears. He is enough. He is enough to heal my hurts. He is enough to secure my future. Now, I'm not going to really ask you to respond kind of verbally this morning, but just think about that. If you're a believer here this morning and you have navigated this thing that we call the Christian life, tell me that you have not experienced that God is enough in some of those avenues. Maybe it's in dealing with fear. Maybe it's in dealing with a path or a direction that you're trying to go. Maybe it's in just you trying to find a calm and a peace in your life through some stormy trials that you're going through. Whatever it is, have you ever experienced that God is enough? I have. I can honestly echo what David says so beautifully in Psalm 23, a psalm that we're familiar with, and that is that God is enough, that He's enough. Now, this morning, we're going to kind of lean into this one a little bit, but I want to talk about rest this morning because He speaks specifically to that. We said He is enough to meet my needs, but He's also enough to give me rest. And isn't that something that we all need? Rest. We live, if you think about this, in a fast-paced, kind of drive-through rat race, kind of instant kind of culture, don't we? That's constantly pushing us, constantly moving. It's like, where do I get off of this fast-moving train, right? And so we live in that kind of a world, and we're constantly kind of going, we need rest. We are constantly, in our day and age, pushing for more work, more time, more effort, more money, more. And if you're like me, often in those moments when we have an opportunity to sit down, to calm down, and try to put our feet up and just relax, we can't. We start to feel guilty because we're being too still. Or it's just kind of the way our culture works. It's constantly pushing us to do more, to move more. Christian theologian and author Richard Foster says this, and I think this is an interesting quote, and especially for us to think about as believers. Richard Foster says, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. Now just think about that for a minute and think about what I just said about our culture. It's constantly pushing us towards muchness and manyness, isn't it? All the time. It's just like this constant treadmill cycle going all the time, and we don't know where to get off. And you kind of get what he's saying, right? The enemy, the devil, likes to keep us busy, moving all the time, in a hurry, fast-paced, that are never slow down, and that's the way it is. And the truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, we never slow down long enough to see God. We never really stop long enough to hear his voice, because I'm going to tell you right now that God's speaking. He speaks in hundreds of ways all the time to us. And the problem, I think, a lot of times is that we're so busy rushing through this life in a hurry, all the noise around us, that we never stop to hear him. We don't know how to rest anymore. And I think that's such a huge thing. And into that, Jesus speaks things like this. And I love this in Matthew 11, 28. When Jesus speaks into all the noise and the hustle and the bustle around us, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." You see, I think that if you lean into Scripture much, you will discover that all throughout Scripture, it's calling us to come apart and rest. Something we have an awful hard time doing. Just finding rest. Matt Chandler says this. He says, God invites us to follow him out of drought and weariness and into the spaces of rest. It's a perpetual invitation because our need for rest ebbs and flows throughout life, but it will always remain a need this side of glory. And I believe that's true. I mean, think about what life is like. It's always pushing. I've even thought through this time of shutdown, if you just think about this in the last, 2.5 months, I've thought, you know, maybe God is just stopping us for a little bit. Maybe he's just slowing us down for a little bit. And you know, the truth is we go through times like this, and it takes these kind of times to stop us enough to hear what he wants to speak into our lives. And I think that's an interesting kind of commentary on some of what's going on in our world today and around us. Now, you say, well, where are you getting this from Scripture? Well, I want you to look at it. If you have your Bible there, hopefully you're in Psalm 23, all right? And last time I put you through the misery of reading it with me. This week you can just follow along with me. I won't make you do that. Who knows, as we get into the message this morning, there may be some more things I want you to recite. We'll see, all right? But Psalm 23, if you have your Bible there, I want you to look at it with me. You know it, and if you're sitting there and you want to say it with me, please feel free to do that. But let's look at it. And as we're looking at it, I want you to hear him calling us to rest this morning. I want you to hear it in this passage of Scripture, because he said, God is enough, right? He's enough to meet my need, and he is enough to give me rest. And sometimes in our life, we're saying, boy, I need the rest, but I don't know how to get off this fast-moving train. How do I find rest? How do I find peace? How do I begin to navigate that in my life to be at rest and at peace? Listen to it in Psalm 23 and see if you don't hear him offering this to us. Here it is, David's words, Psalm 23, beautiful psalm. Here's what he writes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I don't know about you, but when I read Psalm 23, there's something about reading that that causes me to go, right? There's something about that that causes us to rest. There's something about it that causes us to take a step back. It's just reminding us that God is more than enough to meet my need, even my need for rest. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about this whole concept of rest just a little bit. I think the concept of rest is important. As a matter of fact, it's paramount for God's people. You may have never heard a sermon before on rest. I mean, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I don't think I've ever preached on the subject of rest. Maybe you've never heard us, but think about this. I think it's a paramount, important, absolutely essential topic for us as Christians. You go, well, why do you think that? Because as I began to kind of prepare this message and think about Scripture, I thought, you know, rest is one of those things that God calls us to in Scripture. I mean, just a simple word like this. Be still and know that I am God. What is he telling us to do? Stop. Just stop for a minute, right? He calls us to rest. But not only that, if you think about this, and this is something we have forgotten in our day, he commands rest of us. Remember, the great great commandments, right, that God gave to his people through Moses on the Mount. And one of those commandments was, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What's he telling them? You need rest. And you're commanded to rest. And I might add this. This is something I've experienced in my life. If we won't rest, eventually we will be made to rest. It's true. I mean, if we don't rest, we will eventually be made to rest. God calls us to and he commands it, but here's something else. And I believe this is absolutely important, and I think it's why he calls us to it and why he commands it, and it's simply this. God designed us, he created us to need rest. We need rest. Physically, we need rest. Our bodies physically need rest. Now just think about this. What happens if you go for a long period of time with no sleep? It's something we call being sleep deprived. What happens to you? Well, you get sick, right? Certainly you get grouchy. Am I right? I mean, we get grouchy if we don't get enough sleep, right? We know, right, and some can speak to this, but we know that it actually lowers your immune system and makes you more vulnerable to disease if you don't get sleep. So can I just tell you that during this time of shutdown, one of the things you ought to be doing is taking care of yourself physically and getting rest. Sleeping, right? Eating, right? Physically, we need rest. Our bodies crave rest. We need rest desperately. And listen, the truth is we have a hard time resting, but our bodies will eventually shut down if we don't get rest. And I've learned that, listen, you and I have to rest. And here it is. God gives us rest. He gives us rest periods. We can find true rest in him. Now, here's something I've discovered as I've kind of thought about this. I thought, you know what? It's one thing to stop. It's one thing to stop what you're doing, right? It's one thing to take a break, to go on a vacation, to have a furlough. It's one thing to do all that. It's a whole other thing to rest. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we can rest physically, but I don't know about you. Sometimes when I lay down to rest physically, my motor is still running 100 miles an hour. And what I crave and what I need from my God is rest. God, give me rest. Help me to be able to cast all my care upon you. Help me to be able to find that place of peace where I can honestly rest before you and say, you are in charge. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon says. He says this about rest. He says, rest time is not waste time. It is economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. That's great advice, isn't it? That there are times when we need to rest. Now, I will just say this. Some people like to rest during the sermon, right? Some people have said, well, brother, buddy, amen, right? I mean, this is my rest time. Every Sunday, you get to preaching, and boy, God brings rest. And I'm saying, okay, get it however you need it, right? There you go. Get some rest. But folks, listen, we run at this unsustainable pace all the time. And what we need is rest. And my God is enough to give us rest. Have we experienced that? Have you really learned how to find rest? Now, I'm going to tell you this, that when you look at Psalm 23, he says just that. Now, last week we were in verse 1. This week we're going to be in verse 2. And I want you to see this because God tells us that he gives us rest. And he wants us to experience rest. But I'm saying to you, I have a hard time resting, right? We struggle with resting. We have this thing from our culture that's constantly on this never-stopping merry-go-round. How do I get off of that, right? There's noise all around us. There's hurry all around us. There's busyness. And I got to tell you that sometimes even in the church, it's busy, busy, busy all the time, right? People say, well, listen, have you gotten some rest during this time of vacation? I'm like, no. No. I mean, every week we've been producing videos and we've been doing all this stuff and we've been putting out at-home worship experiences. We've never stopped. And you say, like, it just never stops. And so I'm kind of going, God, how do I experience your rest? Don't you want to know that in your life? Like, God, you are enough to give me rest. How do I find that? I'm just going to tell you as a believer, listen, it is absolutely essential that we experience the rest he wants to give us. Well, how do you do it? Well, I'm glad you asked because David tells us in verse 2 of Psalm 23, he tells us how to experience it. I'm going to give you three things good little three-point sermon from a good little Baptist preacher, right? It's always got to be that way. But I got three things that are going to kind of jump out of verse 2 there for you this morning. This is how to experience that rest. God's enough to give us rest, but am I experiencing it? How may I experience it? Here you go. Number one, remember who's in charge. And let me just give you a hint. He is, not you, right? Remember who's in charge. That's the first step, I believe, in us experiencing rest. And I think David got that. David, the shepherd boy, got that. And he communicates it to us so beautifully in Psalm 23 that I don't want us to miss it. Look at verses 1 and 2 again in Psalm 23. And you kind of go, maybe thinking, well, where are you getting that? Simple kind of first step in his experiencing rest. Where are you getting that idea? We have to remember who's in charge to begin with. Look at verses 1 and 2. Here it is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. If you're a person who writes in your Bible or underlines, just underline the first three words of verse 2. He makes me. What's that telling us? He's in charge. He's in control, not you. He makes me. Remember what I said a while ago? You will rest or you will be made to rest, right? He calls us to it. He commands us to it. And the truth is our bodies crave it. He created us that way. And we will rest, right? I mean, one day we're going to rest in peace, right? We know that's going to happen. But even in this world today, if you'd watch, you will notice maybe even in your own life, there's times when God's going to rest you. He's going to call you into that. He's going to remind you, listen, you can't keep up at this pace. You can't. And so, listen, I love those first three words. He makes me. He makes me. You see that. Now, don't forget verse 1, because we talked about it last week. Look at verse 1 there. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Once again, I'll just remind you, if you notice and you look at that, the word Lord there is all caps. There's a reason. It's the proper name of God. It's telling us who's in charge. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's who's in charge. He's the one who calls the shot. He's the one who directs my path. He's the one who lays it all out for me. He's the one who meets my need, who provides for all that I need. He's the one. The Lord is my shepherd. And what's amazing when you look at this, he's the one in charge. That one, the Lord, my shepherd, he makes me. He's in charge. I'm not. We need to remember, kind of lean in to that important truth. I am always amazed at how God's word can communicate such a simple, simple truth through just three little words. He makes me. The truth of the matter is, have you ever tried to make a child lay down when they don't want to lay down? Have you? Why are you laughing? It's like you know of what I speak, right? Okay, we had three great kids, right? And we get questions all the time about them. But we had one that did not like to lay down, ever, all right? You could threaten her, so you know it's not Trey. That eliminates, now we're down to two, right? You could threaten her. You could try everything you wanted to, and her response would be, but I had to. I just had to get up, right? I mean, if you've ever tried that, listen, but sometimes we know, right, as parents, we know our kids need rest or what's going to happen the next morning. It's going to be crying time, unbearable. You talk about grouchy, right? I mean, we're grown-up grouches, right? But those babies, listen, they can scream to the hilt, right? And they can make you know they didn't get enough rest. So we know as parents what? They have to be made to lay down. They have to be made. Here's what I want you to think about as a believer. God knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the needs of your life. He knows that more than you need all the rushing things that you think you got to get done today, that you need him and you need rest. And so what does he do? Like a little toddler, he makes us lay down. He makes us. He's the one in control. We need to acknowledge that if we're going to begin ever to really experience what it means for us to find rest. We got to acknowledge who's in control. Remember who's in control. Sometimes in our life, we kind of run around not actually saying this, but acting like this. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. even God. I'm going to live my life my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to run at the pace I want to run. I'm going to do what I want to do regardless. And nobody's going to tell me what to do, not even God. And we need to realize who we're talking about here. We're talking about, remember we talked about him last week in verse 1. We're talking about the God that created everything out of nothing by mere spoken word. The God who created you and gives you breath. You are here today only because he let you be here today. That's the truth. That's the God that we worship today. He's the one that we are sometimes living our life as if we're the ones in charge. And the truth of the matter is, we're not in control or in charge of that many things in our life, really. We're not. He's the one in charge. If I could just stop here for just a minute, I think the place for us to begin sometimes to experience rest is for us to fully, really surrender to him. For us to say, God, not my will, but yours be done. God, I'm so busy doing so many things and trying to accomplish so many things that I'm not accomplishing much. And God, what I really need today is for me to remember that you're in control, I'm not. That you are God, I am not. Number one, remember who's in control. You ready? Here's number two. This is important. Remember who's in control. Second, relinquish control. Let go, right? Let go to him. Can I just say that a little bit different way? If God is in control, and he is, folks, if God's in control, we should yield to his control in our lives. We should relinquish that control. And you go, well, where are you getting that? Look at verse 2 again. Here's the first three words. He makes me lie down in green pastures, right? What just happened? That sheep had to relinquish control and do what he was making him do, right? He had to relinquish control, lay down in green pastures. In other words, not only do we need to remember who's in charge, but we need to relinquish that control. The belief that you and I are in control is an illusion anyway. It really is. I mean, if we walk out of here with nothing else, we need to remember that anytime I think I'm in control, that's an illusion, a grand illusion. You might as well go ahead and admit it, because almost everything in life is out of your control. It really is. And I am so glad that I have a God who sits on the throne and who is in control. You see, there's so many things constantly happening at breakneck speed right now around us, isn't there? And every single day, if you get your eyes on that stuff, it's going to mess you up, right? It will create unrest, not rest. We've seen that, right? But here's what I know when I look at that. God is still on his throne, and he is still in control. And listen to me, I can rest in that. I can rest in that. I shared with you last week a little bit about a great book on Psalm 23 that's written by Philip Keller, and it's entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and it's really an interesting little book because Philip Keller was actually a shepherd, but he's also a preacher, and so he just watched his sheep as he would shepherd them, and he wrote lessons that those sheep taught him. And I find the book really, really fascinating. You got to get it sometime. It's considered now a Christian classic. A shepherd looks at Psalm 23. And here's what Philip Keller writes in his book about Psalm 23. And this is a very interesting observation to me. I think this will be up on the screen so you can see it. But I'll read it too so that if you're at home, you can hear this little excerpt from that great book. Here's what he says about sheep. Listen to this. He said, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Number one, owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fears. I get that, right? Because you and I have a hard time sleeping at night because there's so many things running through our minds, so many what ifs, so many things, right, that can cause us to miss out on our sleep. But that's not the only one. He also says, because of their social behavior within the flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with the others of their kind. Think about what keeps us up at night sometimes. It's relational problems, right? Oh, gosh, I hope they didn't take that the wrong way. And we worry about that. We fret about that. Maybe I said something, or maybe I offended someone somewhere. And those kind of frictions that we have between each other, you know what they do, right? They interrupt our rest. They really do, if you think about that. So he points that one out. I think that one's interesting. And then he says, this is the third one. These are, if they're tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free from pests can they relax. I get that one, right? all the little bugs and the little gnats that are constantly streaming around us, whispering in our ear, bugging us, eating at us, and we can't rest until we do something about all the flies and all the bugs. And then he says this, lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. Ever got the late night munchies? Right? So I get it, don't you? I go, wow, I'm a sheep. I mean, that's exactly what I'm like. And no wonder I can't rest, because I'm just like a dumb sheep. And I can't find rest because of all of these things around me all the time. And I think about that, and I think, you know, listen, what will help me to lie down when I find rest in him? And so here's what we got to do, right? Think about this. What do we got to do to find rest? We got to admit he's the one in control. Remember, he's in control. And we got to relinquish control of our lives to him. And let him take care of the bugs. Let him take care of all the relational things. Let him have our fears, right? Let him have all of those things that would, let him satisfy the hungering, the thirsting of my soul, right? Let him have all of that. Relinquish control of all of those things to him, because he can fix it. I love Dr. Tony Evans. I don't know if y'all know him. He pastors a church up in Dallas at Oak Cliff, and he's such a powerful pastor. And he says this, I love this, Dr. Tony Evans, he says this, sometimes God lets you get in a situation that only he can fix, so that you can see that he is the one who fixes it. Rest. He's got it. I love that quote. Boy, that speaks to me this week. Sometimes God lets us get in these situations, so we look to him and say, God, I can't fix it, but you can. And I can rest in that. But I got to relinquish control of it to him. I've got to let him have it so that he can fix it. I think that's so powerful and so important in our lives for us to be able to do that. Think about that with me. And then here's another one. Y'all know I'm big on quotes, okay? So y'all just got to hang with me on this one. But I love these great preachers. Dr. Charles Stanley says this, our problems may stay. Our circumstances may remain, but we know God is in control. We are focused on his adequacy, not our inadequacy. Isn't that a great why statement? You see, you understand that the problems sometimes don't go away. The circumstances may remain around us. Our world may continue at this breakneck speed that we talk about all the time, right? We're still living in those kind of times, right? That's not going to go away. So what do I do in the midst of that? I have to begin to recognize I may be inadequate, but he's not. What are we saying about God? He's enough. He's enough to give me rest. And I can relinquish control to him, right? I need to remember he's in control anyway, and I can relinquish that control to him and let him have it. I like how one preacher put it in kind of a commentary on Psalm 23. He said, God is enough to rest me even in the buggiest seasons of life. Is that not a great statement? God is enough to rest me even in the buggiest seasons of life. And listen, we're living through some buggy seasons, right? I don't know about you, but this stuff bugs me, right? But I can learn to rest. I can learn to be at peace. I can find that. I can't if I keep my eyes on my circumstances. They're not going away, folks, right? I mean, it'll just be something else tomorrow. It will be. Don't mean to discourage you in that. But if your eyes are on that, you're not going to rest. Our rest has to be in him. Just like sheep, we struggle with the same kind of thoughts. But I want to remind you that even Jesus himself said he is enough. I love when Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 6, verse 35. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. I never really put that verse in the context of what we're talking about now until I read it this week. And then I thought, you know what that's telling us? It's not telling us that if I'm hungry, God will feed me. If I'm thirsty, God will give me thirst, will satisfy my thirst, like I need a drink of water, loaf of bread. No, it's talking about something deeper than that. It's talking about the spiritual hunger and longing of our heart. We're looking for something. We're yearning for something. We're searching for something. And we never rest until we find it. Well, I'm telling you, if you found Jesus, you found it. If you know him, You found it. He is enough. He is enough. We need to relinquish control to him. And then here we go. Y'all listen to these. Remember who's in charge. Relinquish control. And number three, realign your priorities. Realign your priorities. Can I just say this to you? This is Buddy speaking. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me here. It is way too easy for me to get my priorities out of line. It's way too easy. You think about your car for just a minute. What happens when your car gets out of alignment? I got a good word for it. It gets wonky. It's a good word, isn't it? When your car's out of alignment, it may shake, right? It will shimmy. And when our life gets out of alignment, guess what happens to us? We don't rest. It shakes and shimmies. We get wonky. So listen, recognize he's in control and relinquish control of him. And then realign your priorities where they ought to be. And you go, well, what ought my priorities to be? I believe that our priorities always start with him. Him first, the one who is enough. And I like this here because look at it in verse 2. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's interesting. So look at verse 2 there. This is just interesting. Look at it. He does a couple of things there. He makes me. He leads me. Right? He leads me. This is kind of interesting if you think about this. Study sheep sometime. You can't drive sheep. You have to lead sheep. Right? That's kind of an interesting little statement there. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice and they follow him. That's their priority, is to follow him, not follow them. And that becomes very key for you and I in our life. We are to take up our cross daily and follow him. We're not following a denomination. We're not following a church. Listen to me. You're not following a pastor. Who are you following? The one who is enough. If you're not following him, you will not find rest. But if you are following him, you will find rest for your weary soul. And that's comforting to me. That's helpful to me. That's one of the things that teaches me that I lean into in this time. That, listen, I need rest for my soul from this. And I will not find it until I find it in him. Rest only comes from the good shepherd that's identified in Psalm 23. That's it. And folks, I got to tell you, that's enough. That's enough. He is enough to meet your needs. And I'm going to tell you that if you begin to put him first, if you begin to follow him, if you realign your priorities to where your priority is following Jesus, I'm going to please him with my life. As Paul said, my only ambition is to please the Lord. That's what he followed. You study the writers of Scripture, you study God's Word from cover to cover, you will find that those who were able to navigate this life did so because God was their priority. Following him was key and essential in their life. They put him first. They followed him. Even when the Apostle Paul said, I know the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, not myself. I know how I can find rest because I can cast all my care on him because he cares for me. Wow. My priority must be him. He is to be my priority. So I'm just telling you that, listen to me, if you'll relinquish control of your life to him and remember that he's the one in charge, you're not, and you'll realign your priorities before him, I'm going to tell you, you will recover from fatigue. You will find rest, even in the buggiest of seasons. You will find rest in him. This is very interesting. If you look at Psalm 23 one more time with me, just notice this. It says this, where is he leading them? And I've always wondered, what's that talking about? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There's two pictures there that we see all the time when we think about Psalm 23, the green pastures and the still waters. And I think that's very interesting when you kind of read that, you go, well, isn't that a nice painting? I mean, it's really a nice picture, isn't it? A green meadowy area and still waters. But in my experience, still waters are stagnant waters, right? And so I want to go, what is he talking about there? What is David getting at when he talks about these still waters, these waters? Well, literally the Hebrew there says waters of rest. You may be thinking, well, where are you getting rest out of verse 2. That's it. It literally says this: He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the waters of rest. There it is. You see, I love that. Essentially, he's telling us that when we recognize he's in control and we're not, and we relinquish control to him, and our priority becomes following him, then guess where he leads us? Rest. Rest. I can find it. You go, well, what's the key there? How do I get there? How do I experience that? Dr. Charles Swindoll, who I love, says this, and this is such a beautiful statement. He says, in the place of our exhaustion and spiritual fatigue, God will give us rest. All he asks is that we come to him, that we spend a little while thinking about him, meditating on him, talking to him, listening in silence, occupying ourselves with him, totally and thoroughly lost in the hiding place of his presence. Isn't that beautiful? Folks, he's enough. He is enough to give us rest in our time. And I close with this because I think this is beautiful. Roy Lesson wrote this, and I think it's so true, and it goes right along with that. Roy Lesson said this, and this is a poem that he wrote. He said, God is bigger than times, dates, and appointments. He wants to move. He wants you to move through this day with a quiet heart, an inward assurance that he is in control, a peaceful certainty that your life is in his hands, a deep trust in his plan and purposes, and a thankful disposition toward all that he allows. He wants you to put your faith in him, not in a timetable. He wants you to wait on him and wait for him. In his perfect way, he will put everything together, see to every detail, arrange every circumstance, and order every step to bring to pass what he has for you. You see, the truth is, you and I need rest, and he's provided rest, and he is enough to rest us if we come to him. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask Marie if she would just come and begin to play our hymn of invitation today. It's a beautiful one. It's only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. I just believe when I think about that song that there's some things going on in all of our lives, in us right now, that we just need to trust him anew and afresh. Trust some things into his hands that are keeping us up at night. Relinquish control of some things that we never really had control of to start with. To recognize that he's big enough to handle what we're going through. And to rest in him, if nothing else today in that place. Just to say, God, help me to rest in you. To trust all of this to you. To rest in you. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth of your word. And God, I don't know what you might have said in the hearts and the lives of those who are here in this room right now, or even in the hearts and the lives of those who may be listening this morning on our Facebook page. But God, I believe your word is clear that you are more than enough to meet every need of our life. And God, in you, we can find peace. God, if there's one in this place today that's never come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life, help them today to recognize in you there is peace in this troubled world. God, help them to call on your name this morning, to trust their life into your hands. Only trust him. And for believers in this room today, there's some things, God, that we're worrying about and that we're fearful of. There's some bugs that are in our life right now that are bugging us. There's some things going on around us, and God, we can't find rest. Well, God, we can find rest in you. You are enough to give us rest. This morning, I pray that as believers, we would let some things go into your hands. And God, we'd find rest, peace in you. And Lord, as we enter into just a time of response before you this morning, God, I pray that you would draw us to yourself. And God, you would be glorified in us in this place this morning. And God, if you desire to work, do a work in me or in any person in this room or any person that's listening live this morning, God, that you would have your way in that life. And God, we would resurrender afresh to you, align our priorities to you, relinquish control to you this morning. And God, we'd walk out of this place different than we came because of your presence. We'll give you the honor and the glory for what you do. We praise your holy name, and we come to you this morning. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Would you